Power Church with Gilbert Madden. Thank you for joining us for the live broadcast of our service. We are a church that has been called by God, set apart by Him, and bound together by His love. A church that aims to reach the community, the nation, and the world with the message of Jesus. We hope this message will build your faith, give you godly perspective, and leave you empowered to impact your community and the world.
Oh, come on, Empower. There we are located tonight. Do you still believe that when God says it, it has to be so? So there we are watching us from. Welcome to tonight. I believe that, or welcome to today. God is going to do something, especially in this service, as we gather under the one name, Jesus Christ, which is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And there we are watching me from, whether it's Cape Town, Johannesburg, Witbank, Secunda, all over South Africa. Won't you lift up the powerful name of Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? I believe that what God wants to share tonight with you is just not just going to shape you, it's going to revolutionize you. I believe what God wants to share in this session with us, in this service with us, that it's going to change everything about how we see, how we understand, how we perceive in this time and in this hour. Who of you know that it is not over until the King says it's over and the grave is still empty, the cross is still defeated? Come on, the lion is still roaring, and there's a group of people on the planet still left that are filled with the Holy Spirit and of power. And we believe in a dream that our God has. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. But God is in love with the world, and we're in love with the world, and we're in love with His people and the things of God, because we believe that our finest hour is here. This is not the hour of survival. This is the hour to thrive. This is the hour to take over. This is the hour to do bigger things for God. And if you believe with me that in this service, then won't you just say amen and amen and amen and shout the name higher than any other name, the name of Jesus Christ, our King, our Lord, the one who was and is to come. Amen. Empower, I have an expectation for the service. You know, we need everybody back in the building because the church is the force. Amen. The church is the force. The Bible actually says that. I want to just read for you. In 2 Thessalonians 2 verses 6, the Bible says, "And now you know what is restraining, that He may be revealed in His own time." Do you know that as the church, there we are gathered, we are even seated, that you are the restraining force on the planet? In other words, there's enough power in you to silence all the devils of hell, because God in you is the restraining force. Holy Spirit in us is the restraining force. And so I just believe if God says it, I believe it, that settles it. And kind of that's my theology. And if you believe that to be true, say amen of me. And welcome again to just the second session. But I believe God wants to do something extraordinary in our lives tonight. I just have it in my spirit that, you know, as I was thinking about what to share tonight, there's so many stuff to share. But we need the church gathering like we should be gathering. And again, you know, I want to say this and I want to be clear that even though we are in a time right now, I understand where there's certain things, but this morning in our first service, we gathered everywhere across this nation, and it just shows you once again that the gates of hell cannot prevail against the church. And so we will not be silent. We cannot be silent, because we are a restraining force. If you take the church out of the picture, the Bible says lawlessness will abound. It will get worse. And at the end of the day, what will happen is that a society will decay completely. But the only hope that there is Jesus. And Jesus is choosing a vehicle still. And His vehicle is the church. Jesus is not going to do this through the government. He's not going to do it through the politicians. He's not going to do this through, some say, He's going to do it through a group of people called His church. And the word church is the word ecclesia. The word ek means out. The word kaleo means called. We are the called out ones. But this word ecclesia, this word church, it's not a group of, and I don't know how you guys see it, but I definitely do not see myself as some insy-winsy, teeny-weeny, yellow dot bikini type of Christian. In other words, I am not weak. I'm not weak. And so I don't serve a weak God. I serve the God with a blast of His nostrils. He can open up the Red Sea. With one hand He holds the seas of the earth. He still creates today. All of this that we're seeing around us is created by Him. In other words, this universe hangs on the word spoken, light be. So we are not weak. Are you there? We might be wise, but we're definitely not weak. And actually this word ecclesia, the word ek means out, the word kaleo is called. This word church actually means governing force. We are the governing force. In actual fact, the word church was first a regulating force which passed certain laws and regulation to govern nations. In other words, a church is not a building, we understand, but without the building, you don't have a church. And the only people that are comfortable with saying to me the whole time that the church is, you know, me alone, no. We are all part of the body. Are you there? But together we are the force called the church. We are the called out ones. We are the governing force of this world. And I believe that the church has to take its rightful place. And I believe that God is shaking and allowing the shaking to happen because the goats are falling away, the true sheep are standing up, and nothing will stop this. If it was of man, you can stop this. If it's of God, you can't stop this. You can't stop church. You can tell us we need to gather like 50 or whatever. The point is, you'll never be able to stop the church. There's too many brave people. There's too many fiery people. There's too many Holy Spirit baptized people. We belong to a kingdom that cannot be shaken. We have seen our God. We have seen our King. And He's not afraid. So we're most definitely not afraid. And we will not give the devil an inch. Amen. So I want to speak to you just about, and if you are fiery tonight with me, just throw me some fire emojis as a belief that we can just have some Holy Spirit fire again in our bones, because I believe that we are about to enter the greatest harvest that we will ever see. We are a part of the end time harvest, whether we like that or not. We're going to see thousands and thousands and millions of people come to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ in this hour. And you need to ask God, why did He choose you to live in this hour? It's simple. You have what it takes to carry the DNA to let other people know that there's a King that is alive. His name is Jesus. That's why you're here, and that's why you're alive, and that's why you have the Spirit of God inside of you, because Jesus Christ has called you for this time. Amen. So in Revelation chapter number 9, that's where I want to go to, and I'm going to jump a little bit tonight. I want to get you to a place of restoration, but I want to do it the Jesus way. Is that okay? So in Revelation chapter number 1, the Bible says, I, John, both your brother and companion. I love that. Your brother and companion in the tribulation and the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now I want us to go a little bit down. And verse number 10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke of me. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet, and girded about the chest with a golden band. And his head were hair a white like wool and white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And this is the title of our message tonight, the one that holds the stars. He had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in all its strength. And I want you to see here, before we go any more deeper, I want you to see something. Right when this message was given to John at the Isle of Patmos, John was facing tribulation. In actual fact, just before this, they wanted John to boil. They threw him into a cauldron, a hot cauldron of boil, of a burning furnace, literally. And they tried to make John boil, and John did not boil. And literally, they sent him to the Isle of Patmos. And there, John is saying these following things. He says, I, John, your brother and your companion, was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. In other words, John is saying, listen, I'm sharing what you're sharing. He uses the word brother. The word brother is the Greek word adelphos, which means I'm born out of the same womb. I'm experiencing the same stuff. And then he says this, and I like this. And now I'm going to bring this right into our time. Then in verse 10, he says this, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and then I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet. Now, this the Lord's day year is important because this the Lord's day year means that in this during this time there was a feast hold or a honorary event hold for the king or for the ruling king regent, which at this time was through Caesar or through Rome, and they were in control, and the church or the Christians were under great persecution. But here's the big but: during this festival, where literally the Lord's Day, the evil king or the evil Caesar of Rome was celebrated, what was happening, Jesus Christ arrived onto the scene. So while everybody was persecuting the church and the church scattered, and basically John was the only surviving apostle left at this stage between the ages of 90 and 95, in his hardest time, in his hardest moment, in his hardest season, when he was all by himself, suddenly the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords shows up. And he doesn't show up like anybody, he shows up like a king. That's what I like. And I heard behind me a loud voice as of the trumpet. And now verse number 16, he says, and he had in his right hand seven stars. And out of his mouth went a sharp-edged sword. And his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. He had in his hand seven stars. Why seven stars? Very simple. During the same time, Nero said he was in charge of the world. And Nero made a coin of himself and his baby boy. And his baby boy held seven stars in his hand. You can literally go and study this. Held in his hand seven stars. In other words, Nero was saying, he was making a proclamation, or the Caesar was making a proclamation that I'm the one that's in control of the world. But at that very same stage that the Empire of Rome was making this proclamation that they are the kings or the rulers of the world, the King of Kings shows up and he has in his hand seven stars. To say to John, listen John, what you are seeing around you is not the ones that are in control. I am the one that is in control. I have the seven stars in my hands. In other words, you have to understand, let me be prophetic, for everything that God will ever do authentically, Satan has a duplicate. In other words, every single time God wants to do something great, Satan wants you to make you believe that he is in control. While I'm here to tell you tonight in this session that Satan is definitely not in control, that he does not have the final say, that he does not have the full authority, that has already been stripped from him, that all power and authority belongs to our God, and he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And we will roar into the night because we believe that he carries the power of the seven stars. Come on, are you with me? Let's just have an amen or something for that. Listen. Satan will always want to make you believe that he's calling the shots. But may I remind you, you Christian. Christianity is not a name. It is a thing we do. It is a one we follow. What is Christian? Christian means we are followers of the way. What is the way? The way is Jesus. What does Christians do? Simple. Bible says in the book of Acts, they were first called of the way because they raised the dead, because they healed the sick, because they cast out devils, because they met everywhere, and because they were unstoppable. Then they got labeled with the word the way. And may I say again, we are Christians not because we are comfortable and we're going to go to heaven. No, we are Christians because we are the salt and the light. We are the infiltrating force of the universe. We are here to, if you take us out, what will happen is everything around us will die. That's why we have to be a people that are amongst our communities. We have to be a people that are mixed into the mix, because we are the preservation force on the planet. Come on. Christianity is not a title. It's a way of life. May I say that at the end? And may I live my whole life out in full faith and in full confidence that Jesus Christ heals, He restores, He casts out devils, He heals the sick, He replaces evil, and He can restore anything at any time, at any moment, and He can appear at any scene, at any place, in any comfortable or uncomfortable realm, and He can change things around. Come on. Jesus Christ is the same. Yesterday, today, and forevermore. And when you look at the scripture, what is so powerful about the scripture is this, is that the Bible says, "Then I turned to see the voice that spoke of me," verse 12, Revelation 1:12. "Then I turned to see the voice that spake of me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands." And I just want to stand there for 2 seconds. You have to understand here, the word gold here is the word ostraponos, and it means beautiful, precious, of high worth, of high commodity. In other words, during this time, the church of Jesus Christ was being persecuted. But Jesus Christ values His people of high worth. And what I like about the scripture is this: "Then I turned to see the voice that spake of me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man." In other words, Jesus is not separated from His church. Jesus is standing right in the middle of His church, and He knows everything that's going on. So if you think, and if I think, and I want to say this loud, that people think that this fight is against flesh and blood. No. This war is against God, against Jesus. And what I want to say is this, is that Jesus is right in the middle of your life, and He says, "Listen, I am right in the middle of your life, and there's nothing that can happen here that I am not aware of. I'm right in the middle of my church, and there's nothing that will happen in my church that I'm not aware of." He's not the God that is separate. He's the God that is in the midst. Come on, are you there? And as we just sang, can it be that He's still the one that commands everything? And I want to say, absolutely yes. And then the Bible says, I like the scripture. It says, "And in the midst of the seven golden lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet, and girded about of a chest, about the chest with a golden belt." Now listen to this. In New Testament times, what they would have done, the kings would have had certain types of belts, and the thickness of your belt would have described your authority and your power. The smaller your belt, and the thinner it was, the less power or authority you could exert. When Jesus arrives onto the scene, He arrives with the thickest type of belt to tell us something. That He's not a king. He's not a president. He cannot be voted in, and He cannot be voted out. He comes in on the scene as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and He holds on His garment such a thick belt that literally he is making a proclamation. And what he is saying, "I am the one that is ruling everything." Not just something, everything. And I believe in this hour that the restoration that we are going to see is because our God, our Jesus, is still in full authority. He's in full power, and He's looking for a man and for a woman that will say yes to Him. He's looking for someone that in this hour will not be afraid, but will say yes. Because in a world that is very uncertain, we have a Jesus that is very certain. In a world that's very shaken, we have a Jesus that is unshaken. In a world that everybody is running around, we have a God that's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, and He doesn't change. So in a lot of differentiations, we have one that's whose message and whose kingdom has stayed the same. His name is Jesus. And so, I want to encourage you tonight as you listen, I want to encourage you, and this is my word of encouragement, that Satan is all about focus. Because where you put your focus, there you'll put your heart. Where you put your heart, there you'll put your feet. It's like that. So what the enemy does, he always wants to break focus. Because he understands whatever you are focused upon, you will become like. That's why Jesus, and let me just back up what I just said there. If you believe that you are not what you meditate on, then you have to believe that, or you have to then ask the question, why right now is Satan literally filling and distributing the atmosphere with imagery of fear, negativity, death and decay? Why is the enemy doing this? It's simple. Satan understands that what you put your heart to, you are able to create. In other words, how do you produce fear? How do you get fear into people? It's simple. You show them enough of it, they will become what they behold. But Jesus has become so that we can become someone else. Let me say it like this. All of Christianity is behold and become. Behold and become. And it's a cause of change and effect. Let me throw this out. This will help you. If you open up any platform of social media, there's death, decay, sickness, violence, murder, looting. It's just fear. Why is the enemy doing this? Because he wants you to adapt an atmosphere. And once you've adapted the atmosphere, it doesn't matter what you proclaim, but you are like what you have become acquainted to. So as soon as you believe it's normal, then it's become normal inside of you. And whatever is normal to you, you have lost your ability to cast out. If sickness is normal, you can't cast it out. If poverty is normal, you can't remove it. Come on, is there anybody there with me? The things that you become normal to and say this is okay, then you can never change it ever again. Come on. And that is exactly, you know what, I was thinking this afternoon that mass imagery causes mass faith in the wrong direction. And so the whole world is currently locked up. And I always want to say, I feel like a preacher of righteousness. Because the more we say, be awake, see what's coming, understand what's coming, understand if you do this, lawlessness will abound. The more we're saying it, it's literally like people are not hearing what we say. And it's literally like ears are deaf and dumb. And people are literally not hearing what we're saying. If I think by myself, last year this time, and even 8 months before that, I was already preaching and prophesying, lawlessness will abound, people will get lukewarm, stay connected to the church, stay connected to one another, and if you don't, you're going to backslide, you're going to fall away, you don't let the enemy take control of your mind. We have said this again and again and again. And yet it seems that people are not hearing us. And the reason why people are not hearing us is very simply is because there's another voice that is on the scene that is speaking on behalf of us. Come on, are you here? And maybe there we are. I wanna pray for you just this, so that you can catch this before I go to the deeper part of what I want to share with you tonight. Because if we can break free, I believe we're going to see something that is incredible. So Father, I want to pray right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, that we will just understand. Father, I pray for ears to hear, eyes to see. Lord, I pray that we will behold your word and will cherish the depth of the accuracy of what you say. And Lord, I pray that right now in this moment, Lord Jesus, that we will understand that your word is true and it doesn't fail. It will never fail and everything will come to pass. I pray for ears to hear in Jesus' name. Amen. And so, I want you to see something here. Verse number 15. And his feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. Now, this is an extremely powerful verse, because I want you to see something here. And his feet were like fine brass, as if refined in furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. His feet were like fine brass. His feet were like fine brass. The word fine brass here is the Greek word kalkilibanos. Please listen to me very carefully. Kalkilibanos. Kalkos is the word for bronze. Libanos is the word for frankincense. Putting the two together, you must ask yourself the question, judging or kalkos, or the word bronze, which means to judge. The word libanos, which means frankincense, which is the high priestly ointment. Why will you put these two together? And here is a very clear observation. Jesus is giving time. And the reason why Jesus is giving time is very, very simple. Jesus is allowing time on the earth because he wants to save as many people as what he can. And even when it comes to us, he is not quick to judge. He's slow. In other words, he's got feet of bronze. Now, whenever you have got feet of bronze, you are slow to judge. You are slow to move. And Jesus is slow to move. He is not quick when he moves. And what I want you to understand, just because certain things are getting away, or certain people are getting away of stuff, does not mean that the king is not going to come onto the scene. What I've learned about Jesus is this, very simply, is that Jesus will allow things until a certain period, and then he comes onto the scene. Come on, are you guys okay? Are you still saved? Verse number 17. And this is where I draw so much strength from. And he had in his right hand 7 stars. And out of his mouth went a two-edged sword. And his countenance was like the sun, shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. He laid his right hand on me and saying to me, do not be afraid. Now listen to me. When John saw Jesus for the first time in all of his brilliance, in all of his glory, in all of his splendor, the Bible says that John fall at his feet as dead. But as John is falling at his feet as dead, Jesus does something. I want you to see this in the scripture. And Jesus goes over and he places his right hand on John. And in the Greek text, this scripture is a picture scripture. In other words, the Greek is full of scripture pictures. So Jesus is not just laying his hand on John, he's tapping John. And he's saying to John, hey, it's me. Because the last time John heard this voice was 60 years prior, when he last saw his best friend. But now he's seeing Jesus, his honor of his glory, and Jesus is tapping him. And the word dead here is the Greek word nekros, which means John had such a big fright, he literally thought he's going to die. He fell on the ground, and in that state of fear, Jesus taps him on the shoulder, on the back, and he's saying to him, listen, John, it's me, Do not be afraid. And this is what I believe the Lord is saying to me. In everything that is happening around us, we have a King that is saying, do not be afraid. Do not be concerned. Do not be worried. I'm still the one that holds the seven stars. Because truly, truly, what does it profit a man to gain everything yet lose Jesus? Come on, think with me. What does it profit us? And in this time, I'll keep on preaching this. I'll say it and I'll say it again until, and I know there's hundreds of people following us and thousands here, and that's awesome. But I want you to understand that Jesus is looking for someone that will fall in love with Him and that will not be stagnant nor stale. I don't know about you, but I don't eat expired food. I eat stuff that is fresh. Jesus needs Christians that are not staled, that don't have an expiry label upon them. He wants them fresh and on fire and in life with Him so that they can change the world. Come on, that's the type of Christians I want in Empower. We don't want teensy weensy, insy dot, yellow dot, bikini type of Christians. We want people that believe we are the difference. We want people that believe that we can still raise the dead, that we can still cast out devils, that we can still heal the sick, that freely we have received, freely we can give. We are not blind, we are not dumb, and we definitely understand the time that we are living in. Because your eschatology, your end, your finish is always as good. Or let me say it like this, when you run your race, you always run your race according to the end goal. You never run your race according just to the start and then you fall out. No, you look at the end and then you measure it. Are you there? Now, I want you to see everything that I've said to you, I'm going to bring it now into the book of Acts. I've described Jesus quickly for you, but now I want to describe to you what's your and my duty and what I believe Jesus wants to do. Now listen to this, Acts chapter number 3. I like Peter and I like John. I think Peter is more my personality. And by the way, Peter and John were two different types of Christians. Peter got himself in trouble and then Jesus would fix it. And John was a softy. He would be always lying on the breast of Jesus. And he was much younger than Peter, by the way. He's about 10 years younger than Peter. But he's softer. Where Peter is the guy that he chops ears off and says stuff he shouldn't, climbs out of boats when others are afraid. Peter is the one that, you know, he just pushes the envelope. And there's nothing wrong by being a John, by the way. We need the Johns. Just want to say that. We need the Johns. But right now, we need the Peters. We need the people that will say, Jesus, is that you? Yeah, it's me. Okay, tell me to come. And we need to be able to step out of that boat. We need to be like Peter and say, Lord, no, this won't happen to you. I'm going to pull my sword and I'm going to cut off one guy's ear. And by the way, if you read the whole story, cutting off one guy's ear doesn't even make sense because there's a whole army and Peter is drawing his sword on Malchus. I want you to understand the bravery of Peter. Peter is so brave. He believes with Jesus on his side, he can take on an army. He pulls his sword, he cuts off Malchus's ear, but that's in the presence of an army. In other words, Peter is a believer in the power of Jesus. Oh, okay, but let's go to the scripture. Oh, guys, talk back to me. Come on, talk back to me. Now, Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who enter the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asking for alms. I just want to stand still here for a moment. This morning, I spoke to you about a system. I said to you how God doesn't want us connected to a system. God wants us connected to a source. The source doesn't have a supply chain problem. The system has a huge problem. And currently the system of this world is failing. Come on. How do we know it's failing? Well, the first lockdown, everybody was clapping hands. Of the second lockdown, people are not clapping hands like that anymore. The third lockdown, nobody's clapping hands anymore. Why? you have understood that it is a system. And all of you want to be free. Yeah. You should have listened to us when we said this 18 months ago. True. And so I want you to understand here something. Here, this guy has got people that is connected to the system of this world. They literally bring him, they drop him at the gate called Beautiful, and they leave him stuck. They leave him stuck. He's stuck at a place called Beautiful. I want you to understand, many times Satan will call your condition beautiful because it's comfortable, but you're stuck and you're going nowhere. You're not going anywhere because you have learned to stay stuck. And the only reason why you stay comfortable with stuck is because Satan has convinced you it's beautiful. We have many Christians that are stuck with mortgages, with debt, with loans that they cannot pay. And you call that beautiful, I call that stuck. Because you belong to a system that you are not the boss of. Ah. Oh, come on, don't tell me when I'm preaching too good. When you belong to the system, you are stuck. And so this man was brought every day and placed at the gate called Beautiful. It's amazing, you know, I just want to say this while I'm saying this. Do you know that your giving is never based on your circumstances? It's always based on the condition of your heart. And that's why I love Empower, because you guys give. Thank you. Now listen to this. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. So he gave them his attention. Listen what he wants. Expecting to receive something from them. Let me reword that. So he gave them his attention, expecting to stay stuck with the small portion that they had. And I like Peter. Then Peter said, let me reword this before I read it to you. We don't want you to stay stuck. We don't want you to sit here every day, morning to night, and staying stuck, and people celebrate your stuckness. We're going to get you out. And then they say this, silver and gold we do not have. They're talking nonsense, by the way, because Peter was a rich businessman. But what we do have, what I do have, is better than silver and gold. It's going to get you to make your own silver and gold. And you won't need to come here to ask me for mine. We're going to give you Jesus. And so, may I say it in this night, that when we become ambassadors again, that say, for the love of Jesus, we're not here just to give alms. We are here to remove people out of systems that has failed them and introduce them to a King that can make them whole, that can heal them, that can set them free, that can deliver them, that can change the status quo, that they never stay stuck. Listen, the Bible calls the beautiful gate beautiful. I believe that there's one that is more beautiful than the gate called Beautiful, and his name is Jesus Christ. He is beautiful in his majesty. He is beautiful in his wonder. He is beautiful in his power. He is beautiful in his radiance. He is beautiful in the way he says my name. He is beautiful in the way he says your future. He is greater and he is more beautiful. And the last time I checked, he is most definitely not stuck. He's moving. And so should we all. Come on, say amen as a belief. Send it amen for the Here. And listen, I like this. Verse number 7. Oh, come on, tell me I'm preaching good. I know I am. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. Immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. So he leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them. Listen what he does. Walking, physical healing. Leaping, emotional healing. And praising God, spiritual healing. Jesus never heals one-dimensionally. He heals spiritually. He heals physically. He heals emotionally. And listen, I like this. Verse number 9. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they who knew it was him who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what happened to him. And as I can go on, I want you to see, if you read on in that scripture, it's amazing. The next group of people, just like I said this morning, just after he received his miracle, guess who comes onto the scene? The Pharisees and the Sadducees. The sad to see people. They come and they say, why are you doing this? We like you stuck. And I'm here to tell you, you can't stay stuck. Listen. All of the things that is happening right now around us must not determine the king that is within us. Just because you've lost something does not mean you must lose the one. Just because you have not had him do it the way you wanted him to do it doesn't mean he's failed the mission. What he does often do, he places you in a situation where you're absolutely out of control to show you he's in control. And if I can say anything right now in the season, this is the one thing that we should not do. We should not become lukewarm right now. Because, can I go just for 2-3 minutes here, just prophetic, and I just want to share your prophetic thoughts. Is that okay, everybody that's online? And I want to just share prophetic thoughts of you. If I look at Matthew chapter number 24, 11 signs come as gone. 2 Timothy chapter number 3, 25 signs have come and gone. Then I look at the attack against the church that we cannot assemble like we want to, and they say this is that and this is that, and we know it's not. And we're not against anything, we are for everything, by the way. If I look at everything and I look into my own relationship with God, and I see the future as a prophet, and I look into tomorrow. If I take everything I know of God combined, plus the impression I have in my spirit, there's two things that comes on simultaneously. One, there's a cry from heaven to bring restoration on the earth. Two, there's a cry from the earth to be released from the sins of the world. And in between is a group of people called the church. And our mandate has forever stayed the same. The mandate has never changed. The mandate is, let the kingdom come, let your will be done, as it is in heaven, let it be so on earth. If I take everything together, I will say this will be my guess. If I look at the word, that it's going to wax worse and worse and worse and worse. The world's just going to go on getting badder, worse and worse. But as this stumbling effect happens, there's a people that's going to stand up in the midst. It's going to be like a fist out of water. And this group of people is, as I prophesied end of last year, will be the righteous remnant. That God's going to put so much power on these people that wherever they go, literally they're going to be a force in their areas of influence. And I believe that even though I believe there's massive shaking is going to happen, that I believe that the enemy is going to overplay his cards. He's going to show too much. And Jesus Christ is going to fill the earth through a people that are not afraid, but are fully convinced in who He is. So if I can give you a prophetic guess, my guess is a year, 2 years, 5 years of going full out for God and I'm saying this based on that I believe we're going to see a mass outpouring of God's Spirit. I'm not just saying these things to say it. I believe it based on what He has told me, based on what I read in the Bible, based on what I see in the Scripture, based upon everything I know. I know that we are not in just a time of destruction. We are at a time where God is proving to us that the gates of hell cannot prevail. And there's a people, and here's the bottom line, there's a people that are not being misled. And let me say it like this. Please, if I've said it before and I'll say it again to everybody, the whole church. I said it before that if we run, you run. But there's something inside of me, and I don't know how you made, but I'm made like this. I just refuse to. I can't bow my knee to stuff that I know is not right. And so I believe we're in an hour right now where we have to say we are not here to pass on the system. We are here to pass on a king that is connected to another world. Because where does my hope lie? My hope and my confidence lies in the one that has full control of everything now and forevermore. And you can say, Pastor Gibbard, but I'm not sure I understand what you're saying tonight. I'm saying to you tonight that Jesus holds the stars, and the only thing that you need is an encounter of Jesus. And once you have an encounter of Jesus, your eyes will go open, your ears will hear, your feet will start to walk, and you will believe in the unseen much more than what you believe in the seen. And when you believe in the unseen more than what you believe in the seen, you will become unstoppable, irreversible, and the enemy will start to get out of your way, because the only way that he's trying to intimidate you is by what you see. Now, the quicker you become unconvinced in what you see, and the more convinced you become in what you do not see, you have power to bring that world into this world. And you literally are the power of the salt and the light of the world. Come on, guys. I'm not just preaching this for myself. I am convinced. Are you? All the cameras around me, I hope you guys are convinced, because I am convinced. I'm convinced. Let me say it like this. I'll come to a close with a couple of thoughts. One of my favorite scriptures in the Bible is two scriptures. Sounds a little bit weird, but I've got two scriptures that I love. One of my greatest love is the scripture that I love the most. Tongue twister there. One of the scriptures I love the most is the scripture that says, it is the goodness of God that leads people to the top. It's the goodness of God that leads people to repentance. The word repent, the word re means former, the word pent means stop. It's the goodness of God that leads people back to the top. Okay? Now listen, I'll give you a thought. Here comes a blind man. That's my second favorite scripture. Here comes a blind man. He's been stuck in the Mosaic law for all of his life. And his whole life, he's just heard sounds of the system. Everybody has spat on him his whole life because all of them are stuck. And he comes to Jesus. And Jesus doesn't belong to the system. He belongs to the kingdom. But he hears the same sound as the sound of the system. But this time, it's the one that wrote the law and fulfilled it. And not the one that used the law to condemn others. No, the one that wrote it was now standing in front of the blind man. Matthew 5:17. The one that fulfilled the law and the prophets. And he makes the same sound as what he has heard his whole life. But this time, it's the king spitting in the dirt. And not the law. And the king spits. And he makes clay. And he puts it on the man's eyes. And he gives him a word. He says, now go on my word. And go and wash yourself so that you might see. The Bible says the blind guy leaves on the word of Jesus. He washes himself and he sees. And the scripture that I love to quote on this is always, who does he see first? He sees himself. Now, yes, here's the point. Just like John, and let me put all of this together to you. I hope that you're learning tonight. Jesus is saying to you and me, I'm holding the seven stars in my hand. And never will there come a time that I am not in control. Never will there come a time that I am not the one calling the shots here. Jesus has called a group of people, the church on the planet, you and me. And we cannot keep other people stuck. We cannot be the ones that say, oh, yes, just a little piece, and leave them with that and get on going. No, we have to be the ones that says, silver and gold we don't have, but what I do have is greater than the silver and gold that you want. I can get you unstuck. I can get you to the king. And I can get you to a place where you will never, ever, ever, ever come and sit here again. I can get you free. And I believe in this night, that's what Jesus wants to do. Jesus wants to set you free. Jesus wants to bring you back to that place where you're unstuck and part of the kingdom. And what I can say, as I said this morning out of Deuteronomy 30, people give away of themselves a little bit at a time. But what I've learned about my Jesus is simply this, and it's a very simple thing, and I want to liken it to something. What I learned about Jesus is simply this, is there's always better if you keep on knocking. It's always better. And I believe right now, you and I must not relent in knocking at the door, requiring what is said is ours. And we cannot negotiate wholeness, healing, freedom, these things should be unnegotiable because we belong to the kingdom. Is that fine? Let me ask you a question tonight as I want to pray for people, and that's why we're launching Empower 316 is because we have seen hundreds of people in the first class, 400-500 people, second class, 400 people. We're going there right again right now. And that's families. Why are we going there? Because we want to make people, we want to create people that are in love of the King and are not concerned about the system as much. But people that are absolutely convinced that He wants to make them free. Amen. Come on, are you guys with me? So I can go on for another while, but I want to maybe bring this to a thought here, and this will be my thoughts for you that I want you to get, is that I believe that the Master wants to restore everything, but all of it will be based upon, because imagine just a scene, just for a moment. Here John is on the Isle of Patmos, He's a prisoner, he's alone, and suddenly Jesus shows up in all of his splendor, in all of his glory, and John falls at his feet as dead. And Jesus taps him and says, "Hey John, this is not finished." Come on, can I say to you, there was a saying, I don't know if we can say that, but there's a saying that says, the story is not over until that type of things. You know what I want to, you know that saying. I want to say, the story doesn't end until Jesus comes back onto the scene. That means everything else is temporary. That means the life I live is temporary. The valleys I go through is temporary. The setbacks I get is temporary. The mats I sit on is temporary. But here's a question, and this is what I want to end with. Thank you, Lord. Jesus walks over, and I quoted it this morning. I'm just tying my two sermons in for the sake of the conference. Jesus goes over to a man stuck on a mat, and he asks him the most ridiculous question I think you can ask anybody that's been stuck. He asks him this question. He says, "Do you want to be made well? Do you want to get off your mat? Do you want to get well?" Strange question. And so, here's the bottom line. I don't know how long you've spent on your mat, but Jesus knows. And there is intervals in your life where you don't need to go to the fountain that is stirred, because the fountain visits you. And you just need to say yes and asablif, put out your hand and say, "Master, without you, it's impossible. But with you, I want to get off the mat." And that's the place that Jesus says, "Listen, let me take hold of you. Let me give you off that mat. Let me get you into your purpose. And let's stay free from this mat ever, ever again." And by the way, the only people that will ever have a problem with you being stuck are people that have their own mats and that are stuck themselves. But everybody else will celebrate you walking. It's true. And so right now, we don't need Christians. And, I'm going to get into trouble by saying this. We don't need ram's horn blowing Christians. We need Christians that actually do something. Are you there? Please, I'm not offending you on purpose. Maybe I am. Don't just blow the horn. Let the kingdom come. Let His will be done. Pray for the sick. Cast out devils. Freely have received. Freely? Yeah. Come on, guys, are you there? So I want to encourage you. You know, partykeer is ons so geestelik. Ons beteken niks vir niemand. Ons blaas die horing, woo! Why? No. Rather, take R1,000, go bless somebody. Take R10,000, go bless somebody else. And say, listen, here is it, I just love you. Even better, take it to your enemy. And say to them, listen, I'd love you. Give them a big kiss. So I don't know if I'm going to be here tomorrow. So while it's today, I'm going to love you. The Bible says if we don't do this, we're not better than anything else of the Pharisees. Are you there? Love that is not demonstrated purely is no love at all. Oh, come on, amen. Okay, let me get off there. Don't allow. I have a word for us. Don't allow. Listen, don't allow. Don't allow. Don't allow the slow process around you to catch you out. Be wide awake and watch your heart the whole time, because your heart contains all the issues of life. Amen. And so there we are tonight. I want you to comment your names, because I believe that He wants to see you free spiritually. But sometimes that spiritual battle is going to be a battle. And you will need to go to battle yourself. And say, I want my freedom. And it's too costly to be negotiated. Are you there? Are you with me? You have to be able to say, I want my freedom spiritually. And I'm not going to negotiate it. Come on, are you with me? Somewhere you need to make the decision, guys. Somewhere you must make the choice. It's a personal decision. Nobody can do that for you. It's something that you have to choose for yourself tonight. And so I am here to be a witness to you and tell you He can restore anything. But you must be the recipient that says you want it. Because Jesus is still asking the same question 21 years later. Do you want to be well? Do you want my freedom? Do you want my wholeness? Do you want my healing? Do you want it? It's a question. It's a question. And I'm saying, asseblief. I still want it. You're the all-sufficient fire. You're the all-sufficient God. And we're still convinced that you control the stars. So I want to pray tonight for all of you. And if that's you tonight, I want you to comment your names. Go, go, go. And I want to pray that you will have an offset in this evening, in your life. That from this moment, you will get unstuck and that you will get loosened into the purpose and in the plans of God. That you'll be more busy with the word of the Lord and prayer and loving Jesus. That you will drip of the anointing. That whenever you bump into the world, they will say, what is that? And you can say, it is the Jesus I carry, which has carried me. And they can say, when did He carry you? And you can say, 21 years ago, He carried me on a cross called Calvary. He carried my past. He carried my present. He carried my future. And now I'm repaying Him with a love undignified. a love personified. I'm carrying him forward into the next generation for my children's sake, for my community's sake, for my nation's sake. I will not let him carry it alone. For once he carried me, but now I am a carrier of a kingdom message that cannot be stopped, that cannot be retrieved, that cannot be quenched, that cannot be silenced, and that cannot be placed under a box. No, the gospel is too strong for that. And if you agree with that, you better shout where you are, amen and amen and amen. So, there we are. Throw out your names. And I want to pray. I want to pray for you. And by the way, please don't send me messages on the ram's horn quote. It's a joke. It's hard, mense. I cannot say it's a long car. Mense blaas die horings, maar hulle bly vas. Bly gevangene van hulle self. Amen. Come on. I'm giving you time. I'm seeing the names run. Anything is possible to the person that believes. Anything. Come on. I want to encourage you as the hands go up. I want to encourage you as they throw out those links. Thank you so much for everybody that gave towards Empower Care, and please continue to give. Because we are changing our community. So please continue to give. I see many names running. There we are tonight. Do you believe? Do you believe that He can still change your life? Do you believe that one moment that He can still heal, restore, redeem, put back together? Do you believe that it takes one moment of Him walking over to you and you are forever changed? Come on, do you believe that it takes one phone call, one favor, just one mail? Come on, one. It takes one. Don't you think he can control everything? Absolutely. So there we are. I want you just to lift your hands to God. And I want us to pray. Because He's the one that controls the seven stars still. So there we are tonight. Just lift those hands. I'm going to pray and I'm going to speak of your life. And I want to pray for you tonight. That every single one of you will say, the best is yet to come. Where are we now? August. The best is yet to come. It's August 8. The number 8 means new beginnings, by the way. That's the number 8. The number 9 is even better. That's the number for the Holy Spirit. Number 10 means covenants. Number 11 means unity. Number 12 means control. So anyway, let's pray. All the hands up. Put your hands into the air, just like you don't care. And I believe, listen, I believe that a simple prayer filled with faith gets the Father's attention and everything shifts. Not because I say so, because He said so 2021 years ago when He said, it's finished. So Father, I pray right now as the names are running and people are getting convinced. Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that people will be satisfied with nothing less than the full message of Jesus. I pray, Lord Jesus, that right now, that even in this night, that I can speak out over their lives. Lord, I break every power of the evil one. We break sickness. We break poverty. We break decay. We break every spirit that does not belong to Jesus Christ. And we call your works null and void. Father, we speak out of your people a word of healing, a word of restoration, a word of providence that they will be made whole. And in this night, Father, proverbially, Lord, we put out our hand and say, silver and gold we do not have, but who we have, we'll give it to you. His name is Jesus. Be whole again. Be whole in your mind. Be whole in your body. Be whole in your soul. Be whole in your business. Be whole in your family. Be whole in Jesus Christ's name. And Father, I want to pray out over every person in this night. There's a lady watching me tonight, and I know there might be many now, but there is a lady watching me. You are in your mid-40s. You have a daughter that are ill. And I hear the Lord saying to me, I must say to you, as you have asked, it shall be done. The daughter shall be made whole. She shall find healing. And Jesus has heard you. If that's you, just say, that's me. There's a lady in mid-40s asking for a daughter to be whole, made whole, healed. And I just feel the Lord saying to me, He has heard you. Be whole. That's you online. Just quickly chat back. Say, that's me. Amen. I want to pray one more time for us as we go into this week, because this week must be a victorious one. New beginnings, new things, new valleys to conquer, new mountains to climb, new businesses to launch. Restoration. Acts 3:21. Restoration. Oh, come on, are you there? And so, whatever you do this week, start this week off with the Lord. And I want to again encourage you, every single person, register for Empower 316. We're again going to see so many people being empowered for that God wants to do. Lastly, I just feel God doesn't want me to end the service, but before I say this, there's people watching tonight, you're trusting God for change in your relationship. A change in your relationship. And there's something wrong, and God wants to heal your relationship tonight. And I feel the Lord is saying to me, there's people that you have had issues over a long period of time. And I feel the Lord is saying to me, if you trust me tonight, I'll heal it tonight. And you will see the cause and effect of this as you go into the week. If that's you, just say, that's me. Oh, that's what I wanted to say. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Listen to me. I know I'm way over time. That's okay. I'm getting you ready for revival. Jacob, I always leave the best revelations to last. Jacob stands like this. Joseph brings his boy. He pushes his boy. Come. It's Manasseh and Benjamin. And Jacob is as blind as what can be. He's old. And he's got one blessing. Please listen to me. He's got one blessing. And the Bible says, Jacob stands. The two boys in front of him, Manasseh and Benjamin. And the Bible says, listen to me, on his left hand, no, at his right hand is Manasseh. At his left hand is Benjamin. That's how Joseph positions him. Benjamin, Manasseh. Right hand means hand of blessing. Left hand means nothing. Okay? Left hand was just like a hand. Okay? In the Old Testament. True. Right hand, Manasseh. Left hand, Benjamin. Blind Jacob. He doesn't know who's in front of him. The Bible says, as Jacob puts his hands down, he crosses his arms. And he puts his right hand on Benjamin, and he puts his left hand on Manasseh. And he pronounces his blessing on Benjamin. Benjamin are born wrong, but he's pronounced right. And I have a word for you to tell you tonight, that God will still cross his arms and still pronounce his favor over your life. Even though people might position you wrong, God wants to position you right. Even though people might have put you on the left, oh my Lord Jesus Christ. Even though people might have put you on the left, God put you on the right. Even though people have tried to push you down and circumstances have pushed you down, we have a God that still crosses his arms and still say, I'm not deaf, I'm not blind, I do see you, and I will pronounce my favor against all the odds, and you will rise and you will stand and you will be glorious. And that's why I've told you again and again, highly favored, deeply loved, abundantly blessed, because we serve a God that against the odds still crosses his arms. Praise the Yira. We serve a God that still serves like that and still pronounces me highly favored, even though, and that's why you and I can get a little bit of an attitude, because the Lord has anointed me. And if he has anointed me, if he's anointed you, well, to hell of the devil, to hell of the circumstances. There's a God that loves me. There's a King that pronounces my name right every single time. Oh, come on. And so if you're trusting for a relationship, back to that quicks. Oh, I'm having fun. Oh, the Here is good. I take it. I tell you, I see people comment on my stuff. I receive as well. Highly favored, deeply loved, abundantly blessed. Yes, we are. Amen. The best is here. So relationships, if that's you, quickly comment. I want to pray. I love the Lord because he can change anything. I've seen him do it. These eyes have seen too much. That's why I'm not in a place where I think he cannot. He can. But I'm serious now. We have seen so much people that want to do, for example, our marriage camp. Come and do it, please. You know, when you do our marriage camp, the sessions are a little bit shorter. Because our pastors know. They can't just give you the gospel. Amen? You know what I'm talking about. So, come guys, comment. There's people that need to have their wholeness tonight. Many names, they're running. It's true. You know, I don't know why we stay stuck so long. If we can get freed so quick. Thank you, Holy Spirit. As people are commenting, Father, I thank you. Now I can speak a word of restoration. That people will find your wholeness in this night. That marriage couples, relationships, whatever the status quo, let people be whole in Jesus' name. Father, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus Christ that people will find wholeness in this night. Father, I pray that they will not put their head to the bed without wholeness in Jesus' name. And Father, I thank you that people, relationships, marriages will find restoration in this night in Jesus' name. You know, I don't know what's the chance here of this. There's so many comments here running. I feel people are desperate tonight. And I feel the Lord is saying to me, he's going to make you free again. I can't catch all the comments. There's hundreds of running here. Lord, speak to us. Speak to us. Speak to us. You know, it's like what comes up in my spirit, it's like a story. Sometimes we think it's going to end one way, and then the final chapter comes. And I believe that the Lord wants to add a final chapter to your story. It's going to shift the whole book into a very purposed outcome. And so I just want to encourage you tonight. I don't know if by chance it's like, you know what I see in my spirit, guys? It's like cobwebs have become chains, and chains have become old. They've become old chains. And what I feel in my heart is that for God, it's like cobwebs. He just wants to rip them off. And so if you're experiencing any of that, if you're stuck, you're saying, Pastor Gilbert, I'm stuck. I feel in chains. I feel the Lord is saying to me, it's not chains, it's cobwebs. He's going to dust you off. Gaan jou afstof. And He's going to introduce you to you again. There's people on here tonight, you feel like you failed. I'm here to tell you, you have not. There's people on here tonight, you've messed up your marriage. I'm here to tell you, it's not the end. There's people here, you're sick. I'm telling you that sickness is not unto death. There's people on here, you feel like you have messed up. You've screwed up so many times, you don't know how you're going to get out. I'm telling you, Jesus is going to get you out. The devil is a liar. He's a liar. And he lies. He tells you you've messed up. He tells you you've screwed up too many times. You have not. Because the thief was next to Jesus. And that man screwed up his whole life. Messed up his whole life. And then he came to his very end. And he had one sentence of right. And that was enough to be saved. You could have messed up your whole life, but if you have one sentence of saying yes to Jesus, that one sentence can change your life all over again. Doesn't matter if you're 40, 50, it doesn't matter how many you've had. Listen, one sentence in the direction of Jesus can make you whole, can set you free, can get you delivered once again. One sentence back to the King, and He set you free. I am a witness of that. I've lived 39 years where I've seen people with one sentence return back to Jesus. And so if that is a fact tonight, the devil is the year of you. The devil ligt dag en nacht. He lies to you. He tells you how bad you are. He tells you how unsecure your future is. Listen, you don't need your future if you have Jesus. Jesus has secured the future. So don't be so intimidated. Go and sleep at night. Don't worry. Be happy now. I wonder if my... Hamlet, are you on? I pick you up in my spirit the whole time. Are you on this thing tonight? Hamlet, are you on? If you're on, tell me quick. Because as I'm talking, I'm picking you up the whole time in my spirit. I feel to say to you tonight, you have to walk away of the lies that the enemy is telling you. And if you're on it, I don't know, but I feel to say to you, listen to me, said it's not over. It's not finished. The devil is lying. He's a thief. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But God tells you tonight, again I say, it's not what the enemy has said. It's not done. Oh, I see he's on. It's not finished. Thanks, guys. Thanks for pinning that. It's not finished. And watch these next 5 years of your life. I restore to you double. I'll bring back to you that what you haven't even sowed for, says the Lord. That you haven't even asked for, that you haven't even wept for, I'll restore that and I'll bring you more. I'll bring you double back. For you did not turn your back on me in your hour of desperation. You're still the one that I favor, says the Lord. And there's not a devil in hell that will stop my plan. Not a man that will displace your future. For you're secure in me. 100% secure. Yes, Lord. There's somebody on yet called Talita. Talita. I don't know if there's a Talita here. Talita. Say Talita, as soon as you guys see a Talita, I know there's hundreds of comments. If you see a Talita, pin it. Talita. Thank you, Jesus. There's a Talita. Talita, I see your whole family being a mess. I see many things out of place. But I see the Lord taking your life and putting the puzzle together. And by the end of this year, you will see a bigger picture. And you're going to say to yourself, how in the heavens did I get to this? And I hear the Lord say, use these words. He says, I'm woving the tapestry of your life together. And in the next 3 months, September, October, November, as you go into December, you're going to stand back and you're going to be amazed. You're going to literally think, look what God has done. And you're going to be amazed. You're going to stand back and say, oh, now I understand. And I hear the Lord say, the last 5 years of your life, the last 10 years of your life, you're going to understand everything. But that what the Lord has planned for you is wonderful. It's glorious. And the enemy has tried to ransack against your life. The enemy has come in like a flood. But I hear the Bible, the Lord say to me, every time I've raised the standard. And so tonight I tell you the truth. You will go through 3 months of divine restoration. And in the fourth month, you will exit your wilderness permanently, never to enter again. You will never go back to where you've come from, because the Lord is healing everything. You had a dream when you were a young girl. I hear the Lord say to me, dream again, for it's time for me to fulfill that dream. Dream again, Talita, and do not let anybody stop you to dream. Do not let the time that's gone by stop you to dream. It is still time to dream. When you were younger, 6 years old, 7 years old, you had a dream. God says to me, that dream is still alive, it's still well, and it's not forsaken. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Sickness of the bones. There's people that you have sickness of the bones. It's like rheumatoid arthritis, lupus, arthritis, any form of arthritis. I hate that sickness. I hate it. Any form of arthritis, please comment your names. Any form of arthritis, if you will, of course. I want to pray for that. I want to bind that spirit. That enemy has to go. Come on, amen. Come on, just, if that's you. Arthritis. Now people commenting. If Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus, vindicate yourself. Father, I bind up the spirit that wants to destroy people's bones. We bind up rheumatoid arthritis, bind up arthritis in any form in this night, in Jesus' name. And Father, I speak healing over these bones right now in the name of Jesus Christ. And Father, we cast out the spirit of sickness, the spirit of infirmity. And Father, right now in this night, we pray healing into these bones, healing into these bodies, healing in Jesus Christ's name. And Father, I speak over these bodies in this night, in this day, in this moment, healing over all these names that are being commented. Father, we speak healing right now in the name of Jesus Christ. And we cast out sickness, we call your works null and void. And Father, I speak out over these bones, you shall live without pain, without shame, without any form of discomfort in this night, in Jesus Christ's name. There is a family on here that you are trusting for your child to come back home. You are trusting for your child to come back home. That's very specific. There's a family on here. The child has run away, or the child has left, and you're trusting for the child to come back home. If that's you, please just say that's me. I want to pray quickly for you. They're trusting for a child to come back home. Come on, we... Quickly, guys. If that's you, comment. I want to see. This is very important for the Lord. Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, I see multiple people for family. Father, I speak right now in the name of Jesus. Guys, if you can see people that are, just pin the comments for me that I can see people very specifically. There's many people that are commenting. My brother Blake, I see that. It's like this person is on drugs. They ran away, and it's like literally tonight Jesus is fetching them and walking them home. That's what I see. So can we pray for that? There's multiple names running. But let's trust Jesus. Let all the prodigals return. Come on. Let all the prodigals return. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Father, I pray, let all the prodigals return. Oh, pray with me, guys. Father, I speak a word out. Let all the prodigals return. We break off the power of the devil. We break off the power of the evil one. We break off the power of his lies. Father, let all the prodigals return in this moment, right now, in Jesus' name. Father, we pray that there where you are, that they are. There where there is, you will be. Father, I pray that right now, in this moment, let all the prodigals come back home in Jesus Christ's name. Satan, we bind you of your ability to keep people stagnant and bound and stale. Father, in this night, we break off the chains that holds people limited, and we send a word of restoration. We say, let all the prodigals return. Let the drugs go. Let the pain flee. Let the circumstances change. There's a boy that will be found within this evening, within tomorrow. There's someone that was lost. You have just been, I hear the Lord say, there's someone that's been lost. This place, you'll be found. I feel the Lord saying to me, listen to me, prodigals, return in Jesus' name. Father, we speak that over every single person in this night in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. There is people that have sent out, you've sent out CVs like you. You mustn't comment now with your boss. But it's like you in work, but you know your worth is more. You're working, but you're worth more. Are you there? You sent it out last week. God wants to fulfill it this week. If that's you, say, Jesus, Jesus, that's me. That's you. If you sent it out last week, He's going to fulfill it this week. Send it out last week. You have a job. That's a qualifier. It's not like you need a job. You have one. God's going to give you a better one. Upgrade. That's you. Just say, that's me. And then I'm going to pray for you. Father, there's so many people are busy commenting right now. I pray, let them work according to their worth, not according to their lack. In Jesus' name. Father, I pray right now, we declare the word of the Lord. We say that you will find the job of your dreams. Let me rather say it like this. Your job will find you. Because you are the one that God has crossed His arms for, and He's in love with you. You are the one He loves. Oh, come on. So, Father, I speak it out. Today is the first. Tomorrow is the second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth. By the sixth of August, may they have found already that they've applied for and more. In Jesus Christ's name. This we believe because the Bible tells us so. Breakthrough has come and you're going to upgrade in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Dion and Francisca, you guys must be on. I feel the Lord saying to me, He's going to bless you with money. He's going to give you finances. And there must be people that's going to not like me for that. I don't care. God is going to source you. He's going to bless you. I see you driving a very expensive vehicle very soon. I just feel the Lord saying to me, literally, that's what I feel, and I can say what He says. I feel literally the Lord says He's just going to bless you. He likes you a lot. He's just going to bless you. Your heart's at the right place. You've caught the Lord's attention. I hear the Lord say, I must tell you, people are going to bless you big time with finances, money. He's just going to bless you because He likes you so much. He likes you so much. He likes you so much. Yes, Lord. Amen. Let's go for one more. I like it when the Lord talks like this. It flows like a river. And we can go on and on and on. But we're not sensitive towards data. So, there's someone here that, someone online, you have a pain on the side of your body. And I hear the Lord say, I'm going to heal that for you tonight. I'm going to heal that. It's pain in the body, on the side. It's like you sometimes need to do this to let the pain go. And as I pray tonight, that pain is gonna go. It's been of you for long. It's been of you for long. Can we trust the Lord that that's gonna go? So if that's you, just place your hand. Place your hand like that. It's here. What organs are here? I think it's your whatever. It's something. Jesus is going to heal this pain. Lord Jesus, heal. Change the course. Change the course of this body in this night, in Jesus' name. Yes, Lord. Change it now, in Jesus' name. Can I go on? My online team are just like, I think they're getting cold. Let me just go one or two more. It's a very specific word I feel the Lord is saying to me. The enemy has told someone on here. I don't want to go vague now. I just want to be specific as he tells me. That you think you've blasphemed against God because of the thoughts you have in your mind. I feel the Lord saying to me, Satan is a liar. And you have not blasphemed at all. Nothing at all. But your mind has told you, and Satan has convinced you, that you have committed the unpardonable sin. You believe that you have blasphemed. And I hear the Lord say, no. Untrue. Not true. Not true. You haven't. But you have experienced a lot of trauma because of this. If that's you, just say, that's me. Because I feel the Lord is saying to me so clearly, Satan is a liar. The devil lich. And that's not you. You thought that you committed the unpardonable sin. And it's not so. Not so. Come on, guys, if that's you, comment, comment, comment. There's hundreds of people on the different platforms here, so I'm trying to catch it as I look at it. Come on, I'm just waiting. I see that name. Karen. Your days of loneliness is over. Karen, you have prayed so many prayers. You've prayed, you've trusted the Lord. You feel like you've slipped away and you've fallen away because there was a moment where you thought you should have done this according to how you think you should have done this. And there's been a window that you have maybe not done everything right, but I feel the Lord say it's an absolute liar with a pit of hell. That you have done nothing, absolutely, you have done nothing, nothing, nothing that falls outside of God's ability to heal your life. Heal your child's life, heal your family. I just believe God wants to heal you, Karen. And I believe that Satan has lied to you. He's thrown so much bricks into you. He's thrown so much, tried to shut you down over and over and over and over again. And I just feel the Lord saying to me, listen, I don't want to let you be shut down. I want you whole. I want you healed. I want you set free. And the reason why you're fighting is because you believe that too. You believe that there's something better for you. You believe that there's something greater for you. You believe that you are worth the best. And I want to concur with you tonight. You are the best. And you're worth the best. And you're worth more. And I hear the Lord say to me, that you're like the lady that comes for an oil exchange, the anointing exchange, because God wants to give you so much more. I feel Jesus is saying to me, listen, forget the former and just remember that what I'm going to do. I'm going to do stuff in your life that's going to be so amazing that even your enemies are going to say, how in the world is that possible? And you yourself is going to be amazed. You're going to say, how can God do this? I've failed many times. And I hear the Lord say, listen, I don't care how many times you have failed. I don't care how many times you are going to fail, because it is never up to you. It's always been about me and how I see things and how I see you and how I see your future. And I hear the Lord say, don't even worry a day about finances. Don't even worry a day about your child. Don't even worry a day, because God has got that all taken care of already. But these lies of less than best, and these lies of no self-worth, and these lies of depression and anxiety, fear and decay, it's all rubbish. I hear the Lord say, rubbish. Satan is a lying rubbish. He's lying to you. And I hear the Lord say, you're beautiful and you're wonderfully made. And God says to me, I must say to you, He'll back that fact by telling you this consistently, more than what the enemy has lied to you. God is saying to you, listen, the winter has passed, the summer has come, the blossom is going to return, the rain is going to come back, the sun is going to appear again, and there's going to be a seasonal change over your life, just because God wants it so. Just because God wants it so. Not even because you've asked for it, just because God wants it so. It shall be, it shall come to pass, and it shall be according to the Lord's design for your life. He loves you. He loves you. And He's passionate about Karen. He's passionate about you. He's passionate about you. And the tears that you cry tonight, it's good, because it's what He's going to build your future with. He's going to build you with that. Marco. I'll end with this. Marco. The money you lost is coming back. Better, stronger, more fervent. Do not give up. Do not give in. Do not give away. Do not stand back. Persevere. Stand strong. Trust the Lord. Listen again. Aim again. Shoot again. Listen again. Aim again. Shoot again. It's going to come back stronger. God needed to make this move to get you in alignment with your destiny. God's going to give you better. He's going to give you more. And you're going to get even double for your trouble, for your pain, for your shame. I see the Lord say, do not back off. Do not give in. The Lord is for you. He's with you. He's in your corner. And if God does this, no man will take that. What God belongs to God. Listen, do not be discouraged. That spirit wants to discourage you. The devil wants to discourage you. The devil wants to tell you it's over. No, it's not. Don't let Satan discourage you. Marco, I tell you, don't let the devil discourage you. It's not over. It's not done. It's been a setup for a greater destiny. Amen and amen. Everybody that's online, lift your hands quickly. Let the Lord touch you where you are tonight. I'm going to pray for you, and then I'm going to see you. Oh, I love Jesus. Don't you love Jesus? Come on. Thank you, Father. Father, I pray for every single person that's been on with me tonight, Lord, all the people of Empower. Father, I pray that as they go into this week, may they know that they are the ones that you adore. They are the ones that you've crossed your arms for. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for tuning into the Empower Church service live on Impact Radio. If this ministry has transformed your life in any way, we want to encourage you to partner with us and help us continue delivering God's word all around the world. Visit www.empowerchurch.co.za and find the giving option that works best for you, as well as some of our latest resources. Thank you again for joining us. Now go and live an empowered life.